Φανή, Τσαλοφαλάβα, Μαλόλη Σοεφού, Μαλελάνια Μαμά, Κία Οράνα, Μαλόελελέη, Φακαλόφαλα Χιάτου, Ταλόφα, Κόκου Μέλη Μελεπούκα, Μέο, Μαϊτεάμα, Εμό μου όλαβα πήγη, Πέτητά το Ταμάνα Ιταλάνια, Μοτανά Ταουχίνα, Μανάχοκα Μανουιάνα, Μουγκητά το Ούμα. Μοτε όλα μα τη μαλόη που μαού εγκητά το, Ο Κατσίνο εγκητά το, Τα μοχά είναι πένε. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica House. Better yet, you can download our weekly shows on the Planet FM website. Te Ama are proud to partner up with Waitemata District Health Board and East Tamaki Healthcare to promote health and welfare amongst our Pacific population in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so that we may have the tools and knowledge to make better lifestyle choices. Our sponsors, Waitemata District Health Board is the largest New Zealand DHB in New Zealand, which protects, improves and promotes the health of our people and communities. And our other sponsor, East Tamaki Healthcare, is one of the largest primary healthcare providers in the country, and East Tamaki Healthcare have been serving South Auckland communities for 40 years. Mahalo ni mahanga he tailahi lele ki te Waitemata District Health Board. Ia, ma East Tamaki Healthcare, o te ngā lue mahalohi ma te tau tō mō tātou kāinga pahe huka I Aotearoa New Zealand. On Te Ama Radio, we promote health and well-being and raise awareness about the community services available throughout our communities. Te Ama are proud to promote health and welfare for Pasifika families right here in New Zealand. At Te Ama, we actively encourage and invite guests who are working in public health or making a difference in their communities, whether it be in education, employment, sports, religion, social justice, and so forth. This radio show is for our Pacifica people and for those who are serving our Pacifica population to improve health and welfare outcomes. We have been blessed to have had some amazing and passionate guests share about themselves, their passions and work, and also the difference they are making to promote and enhance the quality of services for our Pacific people and their families right here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Mahalo ni, Te Ama.
Talo falava, malo elele, nisan bulavinaka, kia orana, talo fani, and great good morning to everybody who's listening out there. Well, we're glad to have you listen to us this morning, and we have the pleasure of having our guest speaker here, who I have the privilege of interviewing for the very first time, Anna Fa'alenu, who's from Pacific Immunization Educator from the University of Auckland. And we'll learn more about what she's involved in. And it's a beautiful day. And I want to say that our thoughts are with Tufali at this moment, who's not feeling really well. But we just hope that you'll recover. And we're wishing you a good day today. So just want to say thank you for coming in, Anna. And it's a privilege to have you here with us. If you could just say a little bit about yourself. We can have some music just before we get you to say something for us. Thank you. Yeah, and as we're just waiting for the music, we just want to again just say thank you to all our listeners out there. We hope that you've had a good morning so far, and we wish you all a very good week. And then we just would like to just say that we're in for a good program this morning. So if you can just listen to the music and just enjoy the program today. Thank you.
Bless the wonderful name of Jesus.
for listening in. That was a beautiful piece by a choir. And right now, as is our custom, we normally start with a word of prayer. And this morning, Anna will be saying our prayer for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Adeline. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for your awesomeness and your unfailing love. I pray that you bless our listener and you bless those who are running this service. Father, I also pray that you give us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to share our knowledge with our people so they go on and make an impact not only to themselves but to others that are around them, far and near. I pray that you bless our listener this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you for the beautiful prayer. And we just want to, again, just let our listeners know that we are privileged to have our guest with us, Anna. But without me saying further, I'll let her introduce herself and just tell us a bit about yourself, Anna, please. Thank you,
Adeline. My name, as Adeline just alluded to, is Anna Luki. Most people will know me by my previous surname as Anna Luki, but I'm currently taking my husband's name now, Anna Whalenu.
Okay.
I'm a mother of four children. I hail from the village of Neyafu. My mother come from Whalunga and Neyafu. My father come from Neyafu. And the other part of my father is a thinga. My husband come from Tuanai and Safotu, his other part. And my children, they were all born here in New Zealand. I have two boys and two girls. I have Elijah and Jasmine, they're both the same age. They're my twin, my oldest. Elijah is currently working as a police constable based in Otahu, and my daughter Jasmine is currently taking up some papers toward becoming hopefully child psychology in the future. Currently study at Auckland University, and my second daughter Shamona is currently studying to become part of New Zealand Army, and my baby is currently still at school. As I said, I'm currently working at the National Immunisation Advisory Centre as a Pacific Immunisation Facilitator or Educator.
Thank you for sharing your background with us. That's really interesting. We are also... I'll just read a little bit of what I've got here. You're also working as a registered nurse in various public places and hospitals as well as the geriatric hospital, and you've been doing that for quite a number of years. You've also been working for the Royal New Zealand Plunket Society as a Plunket nurse and clinical educator for 17 years, and you left that to work for one of our Pacific providers, which you've, as a public health nurse at School Delivery Health Promotion and Rheumatic Fever Program for about 3 years. So we're going to learn more about, hear more about what you do. But first of all, if you can just share with us what made you go into the health sector, you know, to help out in this area?
Thank you, Adelaide. I first, when I migrated here in New Zealand in 1986, I've always very good in health science, and that's my passion, wanted to go into something sensible to do with health.
Right.
So from then, I went on doing some more course and training to become a nurse. I was always wanted to become a nurse when I was 11 years of age.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a young age to know what you want to do.
That's right. and it's good that I know that from a very young age, and it's something that I was always passionate about, and decided to pursue it in the long term. The other reason why I decided to stick with it is that my father has passed away very early on at the age of 44, and that's what kind of motivated me to really find out why my own father lost his life at a very early age. When I was only 11 years of age, that's what really kind of motivated me, that I need to do something to save life, because I have lost my own father at the age of 11, but my father at the age of 44 years of age.
And that's a good reason to help out, because you know, you don't like you said, you wanted to find out why, and at an early age to be fatherless is, it's not a nice thing. You know, we, our hearts go out to those who had, you know, who lost their parents at an early age. So where did you start your medical studies?
First of all, I was working as a caregiver to start with, and then from then on, I went on and did my 3-year comprehensive nursing training at MIT, Manukau Polytechs, during the 1991. Mm. So 1991, I graduated in 1995. So I became a registered RN here in New Zealand in 1995. So I'm kind of like 22 years of nursing now.
Experience.
I have a lot of experience and working in a in variety of city and different type of nursing career. So. Yes, 22 years, too long. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, you've been in there for a long time. Yes, but obviously there's something that keeps you going.
Absolutely.
Can you share
with us? I just love what I do. I just love helping people. And I just love thinking that I'm doing something to make an impact to somebody else's life.
Oh, thank you for that. Praise the Lord for that. Let me just go over this Pacific immunization. When did you start working in this area?
I left the Health Star Pacific, one of our Pacific providers, the beginning of last year, 2016. And I decided to go and do something different. So when this job became available, I decided to apply for this job. In April, so I started in this role in April last year. So it's about 13 months since I've been in this role. And I, immunization is a very different ball all over again. It is something that I came into with an open mind. Because the knowledge of scientific knowledge around the immunization is phenomenal, and it's fascinating me, and that's why I really enjoy the learning, because everything seems to be so foreign to me.
So you're learning at the same time.
So I am learning it at the same time, and share that learning.
Alright, we're just going to dive right into it. Can you just tell us what immunization is? You know, what it is that you do in regards to immunization?
Well, in New Zealand, we do have what we call a national immunization program that all children under the age of 18 are entitled to get that, you know, to get immunization. And all of our all our vaccine that are on our national immunization program are also funded for those children or for those adults who have had previous medical condition or who already have medical condition. So there are funded vaccine that they are entitled, they are freely funded, you know, given to these people and funded for by the government. So immunization is the process of giving that vaccine to protect children from vaccine-preventable type of diseases. For example, in New Zealand, we have, historically, we have statistic around pneumococcal illness or diseases, rotavirus diseases and meningitis type disease. These are all type of diseases that can be prevented by giving children their vaccine that actually protect them not only from the disease itself, but also to protect them long term. So some, as I said, some vaccine will protect children up to 5 years. Some will protect children up to 10 years. So some vaccine need, it required to boost, like to give more doses to be able to build their immune system that will last long and give that protection. So that's what immunization is all about, is making sure that our children are well covered, are fully immunized with the with all these vaccines that they are entitled to, and should be given appropriate to the age that they've been prescribed to be given. Right. So it's so important that we are aware that immunization had it is one of our public health strategy, I must say, that's not only that cover the individual health, but also cover the family, the community, but New Zealand is a whole population. Yeah, so we're coming from a health perspective, public health perspective strategy, where it really cover the whole raft of the, you know, health issue with our population. Yeah, I mean, if you look and compare that with antibiotic, immunization is optimal and it's paramount to protect the health of our population as a whole.
Yes, and with the, do you deal with like the very early, you know, the babies, or that's dealt with in the hospitals or the Plunkett areas? Do you focus mainly on the schools? Do you go around to schools?
We, where I base and where I work, we deliver the immunization training. There are specific training that we actually, part of our my role, that is to assist college and to deliver those immunization training to registered nurse, to all health workers, whether you are working in a providers or in an area that they actually deliver immunization as part of the Ministry of Health contract. Yeah, for example, most GP will have the contract for delivering immunization for children. So we deliver courses to the nurses if they want to become a vaccinator to get the vaccine. So to become a vaccinator, nurses has to go through these training to be able to learn what's involved around giving those immunization. So we give those training, and a part of that also is a continuation of updating staff, professional development about, you know, when they overdue for an update. Yeah, we give, you know, continue to give training to update nurses as well as community health workers, doctors, anyone that want to that work in the area of immunization, we deliver those training to continuously update staffing and making sure that they are up to the standards of immunization.
Yes, that's a very important thing. They need to know exactly what they're doing. We don't want any, you know, something to go wrong. So obviously, it's a specialised area, and without the proper training, they are, it's just impossible for them to do this. So it's great what you're doing in assisting our with the training courses that these you give to, that you deliver to the users. Yeah, that's really good. The information or education for our parents regarding immunising their children and all that, how is that relayed?
Once we train the nurses, the health workers, we equip them with that knowledge of immunization, and we are, the expectation is we are hoping we impart that knowledge to the nurses, and the nurses go and impart that knowledge to the consumers.
Right.
Because the nurses are the one, or health workers are the one that actually dealing with face-to-face delivering of immunization to the public in everyday works. So we expected that the information that we share with them and train them with, and the knowledge that, you know, we give them around immunization is enough adequate enough to equip them to do their work around giving the vaccine or giving out, you know, implement immunization.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who I remember her saying that she was going out to the schools and they were testing what does immunization look like? Like, I think they were looking for rheumatic fever. Yeah, what does that entail?
That's a good question. Because rheumatic fever is not on our immunization schedule.
We
don't have the vaccine that actually target specific rheumatic fever bacteria or the germs that cause the rheumatic fever. So we're not yet have the vaccine for that. So it's not on our national immunization schedule.
Okay.
But we do have the vaccine that is already on our national immunization schedule that is given to all 11 years old and 12 years old, year eight student at school. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the school-based program.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, our HPV, which is our human papillomavirus vaccine, that is given to all boys and girls at year 12 at school.
The old ones.
So there is another vaccine that is also given to students at school, which is the vaccine that covered them for tetanus and diphtheria and the whooping cough as well. So those is what we call the booster. So it's the vaccine that actually they've already had it as a primary course when they're young.
Right.
So we're giving them that booster later, dose at the age of 11 to help boost their immune system to make sure that they are consistently protected against these type of disease like the diphtheria, tetanus and the whooping cough that is still around our community.
Mm.
Yes.
Can you just share a bit for those of us or listeners who may not really know what, you know, tetanus is or the consequences of not having the vaccine or the immunization?
Remember, at that age group, our children are so busy and are so active around school. So the tetanus vaccine is actually protect the you know, when you have an injury.
Yeah,
when children have an injury, which I have observed as part of my rheumatic fever program role in the school, that every day you see a kid that comes in with a cut or injury in the playground.
Yeah.
So it's making sure that children are covered, because the tetanus is caused from the poison that produced from the bacteria that caused the infection in the wound.
Mm.
So once you get the wound, the children are at risk of getting tetanus by the bacteria that caused the wound. And the funny thing about this particular vaccine is actually it is not the bacteria itself that actually caused the wound damage, the nasty wound damage. It is the poison that produced by that particular bacteria that it goes on and cause a lot of wound damage that actually make the wound hard to heal up.
Mm.
It's that particular, it's the poison from the bacteria. So our vaccine is target the poison, not the bacteria. So this tetanus vaccine is given to protect that particular type of wound infection that caused by the bacteria. But our diphtheria is also it's not common here in New Zealand. We are currently very lucky here in New Zealand. We are able to control our diphtheria here in New Zealand, but however, we still have to keep up to giving our children, our population, our diphtheria, because we are at risk of getting it from other people who travel overseas and bring the bacteria here in New Zealand, because our people coming from overseas. So other countries around the world have still have struggled to control the diphtheria in their territory or in their globe, because New Zealand, if you compare New Zealand immunization schedule to other countries, we are very, very good in the way we implement our national immunization program here in New Zealand. Where, for example, in Samoa, may I say in Samoa, immunization schedule, we do not have the HPV vaccine. We don't have the human papilloma vaccine in our schedule. Mm-hmm. We don't even have the pneumococcal vaccine in Samoa in our schedule. And we don't even have the rotavirus vaccine in our Samoa schedule. So because when our children go to Samoa, we have to make sure they are up to date with all their immunization, because they are given more here in New Zealand. They have given more protection here in New Zealand. By going to Samoa, we'll put them at risk of getting this disease because we don't have it cover in our own national immunization schedule. So that's why we need to keep up with our vaccination here in New Zealand, because we are at risk of getting it from travelers. Basically, right. Most of the outbreaks of immunization vaccine preventable disease here is from people traveling back and forward, and those people are not fully immunized.
So to all our listeners who didn't know, who didn't have this information before, that's something to take on board if you're traveling overseas. I think it may not be just Samoa. I think it's pretty much a lot of our other Pacific Island islands in the Pacific. That's another reason why I think on the form when you come back, they ask, have you been overseas when you entry back into New Zealand? So, thank you for sharing that. I wasn't aware of that, but, I think along with many of other listeners now, you've informed us well in regards to that. So, I'm just thinking, with the flu and the cold and all that, is there any immunization or vaccination for children? I'm just throwing this question in there. Ignorant in regards to that.
That's a good question. With the flu vaccine here in New Zealand, our flu vaccine is the vaccine that cover the strain that actually commonly caused the flu virus here in our northern hemisphere in New Zealand. So the flu vaccine it's given under the criteria here in New Zealand. So it's given for those people who are over 65.
Right.
Yeah. And it's also given to people that are under 65 with pre-existed or with a medical condition. Mm. So in other words, if you are over 65, you are automatically entitled to a funded vaccine. But if you are under 65, you need to have pre-existing medical conditions. For example, if you are under 65, and if you're 50, for example, and you have diabetes, you are entitled to have the flu vaccine. But it's also funded for children from 6 months onward. Yeah, so it's started. You can give to children from 6 months, provided that these children have had medical condition. Children that may have been admitted in a hospital for ongoing respiratory illness, or children may admit with pneumonia. Anything that actually affect children's health, there are specific criteria for children from 6 months onward that they are funded, particularly to have the flu vaccine. But other than that, it's anyone can get the vaccine, but you have to pay for it.
Okay. Other people outside those age brackets.
People that are outside the funded criteria.
Right.
They can get the vaccine, but unfortunately they have to pay for it.
Yeah, okay. In regards to what you're doing, is there some specific information that you would like to share with our listeners that we haven't yet covered?
Yes, thank you, Adelaide. One of the thing that I will information that I want to share with our listener is the changes we now go to implement the second changes to our New Zealand National Immunisation Schedule. Mm-hmm. And we've already implemented one changes already in the 1st of January, the beginning of the year. But the second cluster change is going to happen in the 1st of July next month. And this changes will involve, meaning that new vaccine will be added into the schedule. Some name, brand name will be changed with some of the vaccine that's already in the schedule. Some vaccine will go to be replaced with other vaccines. So that is the changes go to take effect from the 1st of July, 2017.
Right.
For example, we currently do have what we call a Rotatex vaccine that is given to children from to 6 weeks vaccinated and 3 months and 5 months.
Mm.
Now, the Rotatex vaccine is going to be replaced when that change come in effective 1st of July. That vaccine is going to replace with what we call the Rotarex, which is the a new vaccine that will be added into our national immunization schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Currently with the Rotatex vaccine, don't worry about the name.
All right,
you know of what time the children are having this vaccine, and you know what they are for.
Right.
So the Rotatex is currently given as 3 doses. Come the new change with the Rotarex, it will be given, the Rotarex will only be given as 2 doses vaccine. Mm-hmm. The next change around this vaccine is that parents need to know that it's so, so important that the timeliness of giving this vaccine is, parents need to know.
When
the first change with the Rotarex vaccine come the 1st of July, is that parents need to know, you need to know that the new vaccine, the Rotarex vaccine, it need to be given before your baby or your child is 15 weeks.
Mm.
So your first dose of vaccine, this vaccine is only given, most parents will know, is given orally, is given via a few drops into the baby's mouth. So this is vaccine, the first dose with the new change is must be given before your baby is 15 weeks. And the second dose of this new vaccine is that it must be given before your baby is 25 weeks. So meaning that 5.5 months. So there is a reason why it's so important for parents to keep make sure that they are keeping within the timeliness or the timeline of giving this vaccine. So that is a brief change around our oral Rotarex vaccine. Mm-hmm. There's other changes, but I just want to share. There is a new vaccine which is so great, wonderful for New Zealand.
Right. To
add a new vaccine in our national immunization schedule. And this vaccine will protect children from the chickenpox disease.
Yeah.
So the vaccine for the chickenpox, which is also called the varicella, from a medical term, but varicella is for chickenpox. And so it's given to children at 15 months. So right. For all children that would turn 15 months on the 1st of July.
Mm-hmm.
So if your baby was born in April 2016, your baby will be 15 on the 1st of July. So your baby will be able to get that funded varicella vaccine come the 1st of July.
Right,
And for all, there is also a catch-up. Yeah, for varicella vaccine for older children. Mm-hmm. And the catch-up for older children is for all children that also turn 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
On the 1st of July, they will get this new vaccine that protects them from chickenpox. But however, if you turn 11 on the 1st of July and you already have the chickenpox previously, when you're young, or you already have the vaccine to protect you from chickenpox when you're young, and if you're 10, 11 on the 1st of July, you don't necessarily need to go to get this vaccine. You don't need to have the vaccine because you've already have the disease that will give you some protection. You know, having the disease will give you some natural protection against this disease. So only if you didn't have the vaccine, if you didn't have the chickenpox as early as when you're young, then you can have the catch-up chickenpox vaccine at the age of 11 on the 1st of July.
Mm-hmm.
So for it's the same criteria applied to all children, as I said, all children that were born on the 1st of April 2016, 15 months on the 1st of July. They will be getting this free vaccine. Mm-hmm. So all children who turn 15, right. I'm just repeating that, all children who turn 15 on the 1st of July and after the 1st of July, they are entitled to get this free, they're automatically getting this free funded varicella vaccine that protect them from the chicken pox. Mm. But however, if your child is going to be 16 months or, you know, before 15 months on the 1st of July, yeah, I'm afraid that, you know, that's your child is not going to be covered for the chicken pox vaccine. It's just the way the criteria apply into this funded vaccine and the risk associated with the age as well. Right. Okay. And of course, we want a bigger coverage. Mm. Yeah, we want the herd immunity to spread to our community.
Yes.
So that is the change with our new vaccine called chickenpox or the varicella. Mm. Is going to add it into our national immunization schedule. Mm. There'll be other changes as well. The brand name changes with some of the vaccine, like our, you know, our measles, mumps and rubella,
right.
Which most of our people or the public know the vaccine for measles, mumps and rubella.
Mm.
It's going to replace with the vaccine called Priorix. So parents will probably don't know much about this vaccine. So if you ever hear the Priorix, which is spelled like Priorix, is Priorix, that is the vaccine. It's basically protect children from the three different type of diseases, which is measles, mumps and rubella. So that will replace MMR2, which is measles, mumps and rubella, will replace the Priorix. These changes were not going to affect the quality and the quantity and the effectiveness of the vaccine. The vaccine itself, same, but just the name, brand name change for this vaccine. Need to inform our parents, people about the changes here.
So am I hearing this right? The three immunizations will be done in one? Or we've just got a new type that'll come out this
year? The Priorix vaccine is cover three different types of diseases.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it basically protect children from... So it's one injection for three.
Yeah.
So it's one in three, in other words.
Yeah,
yeah, so that's our, you know, wonderful measles, mumps and rubella.
Mm.
And we still have cases of measles and rubella in our country. Lately, in May, around May or April, we did have some cases of measles.
Mm.
And in Auckland alone, we did have 70 cases of mumps around February, early on this year.
Now, is this optional or parents are actually strongly encouraged to go ahead, but is it optional? Can they decide not to?
Well, immunization is not compulsory in New Zealand, parents have given need to be well informed about
it's risky.
The risk and the side effect, need to be well informed about the benefits of immunization, so they can make a well informed decision. So the good things about our people, they are a people of immunization. They are people
they really
into immunizing their children. Mm. They believe in protecting our children. So we do not, here in New Zealand, we do not have a real issue with our own people getting our children being vaccinated.
Mm.
The real issue that we have here with our Pacific people is that getting those children to be vaccinated on time.
Mm.
Yeah, we're not getting our children to be vaccinated on timely manners. And it's so important. There is a real benefit behind getting those children to immunize. Mm. according to their age appropriate vaccine, because the vaccine is being researched around that particular age group, and it's important that parents need to know the benefits the children reap is by getting those children get the get the vaccine on timely manners.
Yeah, I can see how passionate you are about this, because it is really important, you know, to protect our children from catching these sicknesses or illnesses. For those of you who are listening, just I've just got Anna Falenu here. It's a privilege to have her here. Anna, we've got a few more minutes to go before we start winding up now. Is there a message? I know you really stressed the importance of immunization to have it on time. We have only a few more minutes before we go off here, but is there, you know, any last messages you'd like to share to our families, to our listeners out there who are listening in today?
Thank you very much, Adeline. It's been a pleasure coming here and sharing this with you. The key message that I'd like to share with our listener is that immunize our children on time. Get our children to be immunized on time so they can reap an early protection. So when they get that early protection by immunized on time, they'll end up they'll be going to school, you know, every day and all day. They'll be not missing any school. They'll be not end up in a hospital. There'll be no visitation to the doctors. There'll be no waste of time to go and see the doctors. So it's by getting those children immunized on time, they'll reap the benefit of early protection and a long-term protection for their immune system. And given immunization is basically we give the vaccine to help build and make some good antibodies, some fighter into their body, so they can prepare themselves or ready to fight any infection that they can come across. So anybody that cough over Susie, who's only 2 years old, and Susie's is fully immunized, Susie is able to release those little fighting armies to fight off that infection. So that's the whole idea of having in the vaccine, not only to build the good young people inside them, but also to build up and make and strengthen those immune systems, so when they become in contact, they are ready to fight. They are ready to shoot the arrows and getting those germs out of their nose, out of their eyes, out of their mouth. So it's so important to get those our children to be immunized on time.
And I really love the way you express, you know, these armies go out and they, you know, they combat, you know, these infectious bacteria and all that, you know, from wherever these things come from. I've learned some, you know, a lot more today. And, you know, on behalf of Te Ama Pacifica Health Radio, community radio, we really want to thank you for coming in today. And I know that parents have learned more. Thank you for introducing the new immunization. I think it's the vaccine, and all that. So, we really would like to say thank you and wishing you all God's blessings as you continue with your passion.
Thank you.
To, you know, for our parents and our medical system to take care of our children, and for our parents to take advantage of the vaccination and the immunization, which is funded, you know, to protect our children. And so we'd like to have you back at some stage later. And as I mentioned earlier, Fale, who is not well, she's not in today, she's listening in. And also to all our family, friends, and also community people who are listening in, we trust that you can take some a message from what Anna has shared with us today. And just before closing, we've got I think a few seconds. If you'd like to give a shout out to whoever you're there, and just as we just make our way out of the program today, it's been a real pleasure having you here.
Fale, I hope you get a speeding process to healing of God upon you, and hope to catch up with you sometimes later on. And I really appreciate, Adeline, your time sharing with me here today. So shout out to my son Elijah, who's 2 days off from his core work, and my daughter Jasmine, go well with school, and my son Josiah go well with school, and my daughter Shimona go well with school. And thank you very much for listening. God bless.
Yeah, thank you, and all to, and to our listeners out there, same time next week. We'd like you to listen to into Tiama Pacifica Health Radio. Wishing you all a great week, rest of the week, and God's richest blessings to you all. Thank you.
Looking to the food of the ages. Jesus.